Okay, well, so the first thing I want to do, though, to get before we get started is I want to correct a typo. It's on page 28 if you have a book. If you don't, that's okay. It says 2 Peter 4:12, but it's 1 Peter 4:12 because I was, like, racking my brain going, wait a minute, that ain't the right scripture. So let me read that to you before we get started in tonight. And it's the part where it says, we have not been abandoned by God. Okay, because a lot of us, we have issues that go on. We don't necessarily say, oh, God, you've abandoned me. But in our actions, the way we respond shows us who we're really trusting. So if we look at 1 Peter 4:12, it says, beloved, that's me and you, Christians. Okay, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. How many of us just freak out? It's like, what are you doing, God? And even in feelings of rejection, what are you allowing this to happen to me, God? You know, so we wonder why the fiery trials are there. It's because we are to then rejoice. Because we are partakers of Christ's sufferings. It's the relationship with the Father in Christ that gives us exceeding joy. I mean, have you ever felt exceeding joy or happy or joyful? But how about exceeding? Boy, that's got to be something we don't always experience. And so I'm hoping that we get there. I hope that we can all get there. And we can do it if we do not allow rejection to be a part of our life. Okay, so before I read on, before we continue, I want to open it up to see if there's anybody that has anything that you that bounced out at you when you read some of the book, or if you didn't get a chance to, that's fine too. Or if you have any questions or comments so far from this class.
Hey, Linda.
Yes.
I can say I listened to last week's a couple times, and I can say that I think I was rejecting myself more than I realized at all. So, you know, did like stop and pray and ask for forgiveness for it, and you know, said out loud that I forgive myself.
Exactly. You know, the biggest thing I get from people is 90% of the people that I talk to always talk about rejection. They just feel like they're rejected. And so we're going to get into that in a minute as to why we feel that more than anything. Because I ask God, why do people have this issue all the time? You know, why couldn't it be something else? Why does it have to be rejections, you know, rejection feelings? So we'll get into that in just a moment. Okay, so when we get through those trials, like with you, what you're going through and what we recognize, we have to remember this passage. Don't think it strange. Don't think it strange. Mm-hmm. We have to, on purpose, go, well, this is happening. The people that feel, it seems like they're rejecting me. It seems like they're, you know what? I'm not going to think it's a strange thing. I'm just going to just, okay, roll with it and just rejoice. Say, Lord, I'm going to be happy anyway. See, this is a choice. It says, but instead, be partakers of Christ's suffering with exceeding joy. So if you don't have exceeding joy, I think you need to ask God in the middle of a trial, Father, I need exceeding joy right now because it's His joy, not our joy, not how much we can muster up. It's His joy in us that makes us strong. So joy of the Lord is our strength. It's God's joy in us. Let me say that again. It's God's joy in us that makes us strong. We cannot muster it up. We cannot make it happen. So we have to believe it and receive it, and then He completes it. And then we can go, whoa, why? I should be upset right now, and I can't because I'm too joyful. And the truth is, 2 years, even a month from now, that thing that just happened is not even going to be an issue anymore unless you make it an issue. It's going to be past. You're going to get through it. You're going to see God's hand through it, and you're going to wonder why you allowed it to affect you. And that's what we've done with all of our life, is all these things that people have said to us, all this rejection, all this stuff, we've kept it in a little basket in our life. When things happen, we pull it out and go, but this isn't fair. Look what happened there. This isn't fair. We got to get rid of that little box, that little basket of stuff from the past. Because that's telling me then we are not living after the cross where Jesus took that all, we're living thinking we have to work at something. That's under the law. You were living under law, or we're living under grace. It's our choice. And I can tell you by your fruit if you're living under the law or if you're living under grace. All right, so on page 20 at the bottom it says, we have to, on purpose, think that which is good and truth. And we have to put on the shoes of peace. We have to put these things on. They don't just fall on us. Sin falls on us. It's easy to sin. It's easy to doubt. It's easy to fear. But we have to, on purpose, take that thing we fall into and on purpose choose the other way. You know, I was doing a television show today, and I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. It only can come when you really know God. You cannot have joy absent from the Lord, because He is joy, all right? Anybody else, it's just happiness. It's just, you know, feeling good. It's whatever, but it's not real joy. It only comes from God. So I was explaining that we have a struggle going on. We have the old man, which is where we're feeling bad of rejection and hurt and everything. And then we have the new man when we receive Christ. He says to put on the new man, put on shoes of peace, of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We've got to put on these things, okay? So the old man is easy. He just falls into stuff. It's our choice which we're going to follow. We have to, on purpose, choose life. He says, I set before you life and death. You're going to choose it. So when you start to feel rejection, what you're doing is you're following after the old man. Because God's never rejected you. He's never abandoned you, even though you might think so. That's the enemy trying to persuade you that God is not good. You have to, on purpose, take your little brain, put your hands on your head if you have to, turn your face to the right and say, no, I am going to follow after righteousness. See, you know, a lot of people come to me, they go, I just want to get free. So maybe you're saying this, I just want to be free. I just want to be free. Free from what? What are we really saying? Free from health issues, free from grouchy neighbors, free from whatever we're free. You know what? The Lord showed me today what that is. He says what people are really wanting to be free from is the power of sin in their lives, because everything is a result from what's going on in our heart. Everything. And so when we recognize that being in rejection, that is a fruit of sin. When we are feeling painful and hurt and have bitterness, that is a fruit of sin. Now, many people don't like the word sin. We can turn it to unrighteousness, okay? If you don't like the word sin, let's just say unrighteousness. Unrighteousness comes from being bitter. Unrighteousness comes from being distrusting, okay? So we can call it unrighteousness if you don't like the word sin. It's the same thing. So let's be honest. Let's not be afraid of the word sin. Because Jesus came to what? Cleanse us from all sin, because He knew that that was going to be the problem, even in the abandonment and rejection issues. He knew that sin will follow rejection, because what happens when we reject or get rejected, we start to respond, and we start treating people badly, and we start to act ugly, and then we start to make wrong decisions based on what's going on in that rejection. Did you know that when we feel rejection, we are simply doubting God? Okay, so it's easy to say that, but to really live it, all we need to do is this, and it's inch by inch, people, line upon line, okay, that's what the Bible says, is when you start to feel rejection from anybody, you need to stop and say, Lord, I'm doubting you right now. Just stop and say, Lord, I repent for doubting you right now. You have not rejected me. First of all, forgive the people right off the bat, and then simply repent that you're doubting God, because that's going to draw you back, and you're going to start to see differently. You're going to start to feel differently. Those old patterns are going to not come up anymore, and you're going to start seeing life a whole lot funner, okay? So I think we need to have a little bit more joy in our life. I don't know how many people have laughed today. Has anybody laughed today? You need to laugh three times a day, all right? A merry heart that's good like a medicine. So we got to just have a good belly laugh every now and then. If we haven't laughed in 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 6 months or a year, you better do that because that is health. That is your health. So we, yeah. You know, there's a, I think somebody said, I don't remember anywhere in the Bible where it says Jesus laughed. But the Bible is only an eighth percent of all that Jesus did. And I have to tell you, I bet he laughed with his disciples a lot. And I even have a picture of Jesus laughing because he experienced every single bit of our emotions, the Bible says, that we do. So I know he laughed. So we've got to laugh as well. Matter for the joy. Remember that joy of the Lord is your strength. If joy is there, there's got to be laughter in there. There's got to be a feeling good in there. So we can have that too. We fall into temptation through thought. Again, what are you thinking? Is it hard to believe, really believe that God loves you? What are you thinking about God? We have been trained by the enemy to believe the wrong things. We've been trained by the enemy to believe we'll never get free of rejection. We'll never, ever get free. I bet maybe some of you even during this class have said, you know, this is nice and all, but it ain't working for me. Well, then guess what? It's not going to work for you. You have got to change your thinking on it and say, I see that this is the Word of God explained in this booklet about abandonment and rejection, and I'm going to trust you, Lord, that I am going to come out on the other end. Matter of fact, I see myself out on the other side of this. You have to see yourself complete. Like God sees you complete. He sees you through Jesus complete. He doesn't see you with all your flaws and all your stuff. He sees you as a completed work that Jesus did in your life. You're just having to catch up with it physically, all right? So you need to see yourself completed. And I heard somebody do this, and I think it's a good idea, is they took a frame, a picture frame, and they put a picture in themselves of what they want to look like, of what they want to do. If you're standing, maybe standing on a mountain or hang gliding or something where it's something supernatural that brings you out of the stoop that you're in, that you can do this, that we are going to make it to the other side. And that's what we have to do. Are we really believing for the more than enough? Are we really believing for that, what is it, that eye has not seen or ear heard or has entered into the hearts of men, what the Lord has prepared for you? I mean, even our greatest imagination can't even come close to what God has for us. Let me say that again. Even our imagination cannot come close to what God has for us. But every time we fall into rejection, we're cutting ourselves off. I don't know why I'm saying this right now, but we got to put on our big girl panties now. We got to put on our big suspenders now. We have got to decide today, enough is enough. And I'm going to trust you. I am going to, yes, it's still messing with me, but I am going to hold on with all that I have, that I'm going to believe, that I'm going to come out on the other side victorious. You need to see that today. I hope you see that as we're talking. Jesus finished the work on the cross. He finished it, so you are equipped as well. You are finished. Now you just catch up. It's easy to fall into temptation through thought. The Bible says that our lust draws us away from the Word, our lust. So what does our lust come from? Our thoughts. Oh, I really want that. Oh, I would really like that. Oh, that looks really good to have. But then the Holy Spirit's in there going, tilt, no, that's not the way to go. And so the other guy's going, yeah, it's a perfect thing to do. So you've got this struggle going on inside. But the more you lean or yield your members in your heart and your thoughts to the Word, the easier it's going to be when that other stuff pops up. You're going to go, it's just you, and then move on. You see, this is, I think some of us are in that empath where there's just, you're like at a crossroads, and it's just this very precarious situation that you're either going to make it or break it. That's what you feel like inside, and that it's just, it's so close but yet so far away kind of feeling, in the middle, kind of in a chasm. But you have the choice to choose the harder trail but the most beneficial trail. And then once you take that first initial step towards the harder trail, which is to believe, then the rest will follow. The joy will come, the provision will come, the peace will come, the help will come. But as long as you're at an impasse and you're just sitting there figuring out which way to go, God can't do nothing with that. You have got to make a choice. And let's say you go the wrong way. Cool. At least you're moving. God can work with that, and he'll bring you right back. But we have to make a decision. Am I going to trust God with this heart issue that I have? Am I going to trust God, really trust him? And I think this whole thing is about really trusting God. Like I said earlier, your joy only can come when you truly believe God in the area that you're dealing with. We need to truly believe God. I put in here about not being the Bible answer man. I have a lot of people that call me and ask me questions, and I really don't have the answers, people. I'm a vessel. And, yes, I have some experience a lot, and I do know what with that you do this, this is what's going to happen. So I have that. But to really know what God wants for you, I don't know that. So this ministry helps people hear from God so that they can choose and make decisions. And I hope that this class is doing that, that it's giving you resources and tools and information and scripture and encouragement that you're going to be able to hear from God yourself in this area. That's what really is needed. Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the book Holes that I wrote. And it is a book that talks about, never being filled. Like a person that feels rejection, I guarantee you they have a hole in their heart. And anytime something comes into their heart, it falls out the bottom. It's just like this big hole, big chasm. So that hole needs to be sewn up. And we only can heal that hole by forgiving everybody that abandoned us. Remember, we talked about it at the very beginning. In order to really get rid of all rejection, you need to forgive every single person that ever abandoned you. We're going to talk about forgiveness in the next week or so. But we really need to do the forgiveness. Remember, that's the bottom line, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. So what we do sometimes is, as a teacher, maybe some of you do the same thing, you're so excited what God gave you that you go and give it away. And I remember my husband telling me one time, why don't you just hold on to it for a minute? So I hold on to it now, and I chew it up, and enjoy it. And then what happens is God says, I'm going to press it down. I'm going to shake it together, I'm going to have it overflow. So now the overflow lands on people. So I'm not depleted. So when God calls me for another task down the road, I'm already ready. I'm not depleted from giving everything I have to somebody who is in need. We've got to learn how to not only sew up the hole through forgiveness and letting God even forgive your heart. He heals our hearts. To be able to do that, now we have a vessel that can carry something. It's not going to just fall out the bottom. But when you really heal that hole, now you're getting filled. Now when I receive from God his love, ooh, it starts to bubble over and it starts to get on to people. Now I'm full, and now I'm, that overflow is happening in my life because we don't have a hole anymore. So judgment causes us to reject ourselves. Okay, so if we reject ourselves, what does that do? I mean, what we're doing is we're judging ourselves. When we judge others, we are judging ourselves. When we judge ourselves, we're judging others. And what does the Bible say about judgment? Romans 2:1, don't judge. For whatever you judge, you will be measured back to you. So we just got to, Father, forgive me. I'm judging. I'm, complaining about that person, and I'm saying what they should be doing and why are they doing that. And even with our family members, we're constantly in judgment. I think we can all admit to it that we have areas of judgment that we need to just say, Lord, forgive me. It's all about forgiveness, and it's all about confession and what we see, and just take it to the Lord. I think that's real important, is the recognizing, because we don't, like I said, we judge ourselves, but then it turns into rejection because we start judging ourselves, and now when you judge yourself, you actually start to condemn yourself, and now you're rejecting yourself. So that's why even Paul says, I don't even judge myself, because he knew where it would end up. So we got to stop judging ourselves and let God be the judge. So we need to stop judging, plain and simple. If you find yourself, rejecting yourself, just say, forgive me right now for judging. I receive your forgiveness and I forgive myself. Now, you might not feel it at the moment, but proclaim it first. Your emotions will catch up. When you repent for it and forgive, the blessings will follow. And also when we judge one another, we're competing with one another. You know, I have a friend that says we are to complete each other, not compete with each other. See, it's all rooted in fear of loss. And any time we feel rejection, I guarantee you there's a loss in there. Mostly everything we deal with in life, there's an element of rejection that goes with it. So I challenge you. I challenge you today to stop judging and start loving one another. You know, what we do is we get kind of upset at God. Why did they get that? How come they got blessed with that? I thought that, when's my turn? We got to turn it around and say, Father, that's amazing. I ask you to continue to bless them. Now, it's hard to do, especially when you're not seeing your stuff come through, to bless somebody else in their blessings. But that's opening up God to bless you. When we are comparing ourselves or rejecting ourselves for not meeting up to what we think is God's expectation so we receive something from him, you got to stop that. Remember, you got to choose life. Who are you listening to? When you start listening to those things in the night hours. Okay, I'm going to give you a challenge, and I'm going to open up the lines for a moment and let you share your hearts up to this point. I'm challenging you this week to bless someone. Did you know that when you have yourself off your mind, you can't even feel rejection? If you have yourself off your mind, you're not going to feel pain or feel weird or strange or ugly or whatever. You're not even on your mind, okay? So whatever you can do to bless somebody, either in a word or a deed or whatever you can think of, maybe a note, a phone call, I don't know, make them cookies, do something to bless somebody else. But let it only be about the person, not about what you can get out of it either, because sometimes we want to bless people and what am I going to get out of this? No, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, keep that in mind. Isn't it difficult to make these choices, people? Isn't it difficult to not think of yourself? It's true. That's another temptation towards sin, is thinking of yourself and what makes you comfortable. You know, I remembered one time, whenever I do a conference, I'd see what was in the area, like Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm or some park or whatever it is I want to go see. So I make arrangements to stay a little longer so that I can go to those different places. Well, one time I was doing a conference, and if you read it, this is what I'm talking about here, is I did a conference, and I wanted to leave right at the end of the conference because I had plans. I wanted to go play. But the husband was coming home late, and she says, can you wait for a minute? I really want you to pray for us because we just lost our daughter, and I really believe you can pray for my husband. And I go, I am so sorry. I'm not able to right now. Now, I'm telling you on myself because that was many years ago, but still, it comes up sometimes. I don't have shame or any guilt anymore about it because God's forgiven me, but I use it for an example that I had myself on my mind, what I could get, what was in it for me, and what I was doing was I was rejecting them, wasn't I? And guess what's going to happen when I reject them? It's going to come back on me. So then in the middle of my enjoyment or whatever it is I'm thinking that I'm going towards, God, he has not forgotten what I did, and it will come back to me. So let's set ourselves up. Let's go do something nice for somebody, even if it's a phone call, without you on your mind. Don't, you know, talk to them and say, oh, how are you doing? And then them telling you, and then you turn around and go, yeah, I remembered. You know what I was doing this week? Let's challenge ourselves to not think of ourselves for at least 10 minutes when we're talking to somebody. Because it's going to take some practice, because we've all had ourselves on our mind a lot, and I am right in there. I am not speaking to just you. I'm speaking to myself. When you give like this, no matter their response, you won't feel any rejection. Okay, so I'm going to open up the lines really quickly for you to share your hearts if you have anything to say.
Well, I'm sitting here, and I've got a kind of a question, you know, because we were reading through the pages, and I'm listening to all that you say, and it's so true, you know, it hits home with me, but I'm sitting here struggling because I had a lifelong abandonment through my grandparents and my mother. They, you know, and I've forgiven them, but I don't know if I truly have. What I mean by that is, you know, for about 11 years, they had this little lie they carried around. I was my grandparents' son. I had called them mom and dad,
yes.
And my sister, who I thought was my sister, was really my mother. Mm-hmm. And one day when I was about 11 years old, they told me this stuff.
Right.
So I, of course, felt abandoned.
Right.
By all of them.
I don't know why you got stuck, because I just wrote the word down. The whole issue in that whole situation isn't even that they abandoned you. They betrayed you.
Okay.
That's the word you're explaining.
There's a whole different word for me.
That's betrayal.
Yeah.
You were betrayed by your parents and your grandparents.
Grandparents and my mother.
Okay. So keep that in mind, because we are going to get into forgiving from your heart to get rid of all the stuff that you've been allowed to pile up. Even though you say you've forgiven, and you know in your I think I've forgiven, but I'm still having some issues here. So that means that you haven't really been purified and purged from all that. So we're going to do that in the next week or two. And so hang on, because keep that in mind. I broke the word down, betrayal. So you write that word down too. You can put a
pen
in rejection, but add betrayal. Remember, again, freedom comes when we recognize what sin is reigning in our life. Right? Isn't that how we get free? Can
Amen.
I give an example of how that works in your life? To recognize something, and then you got free. Let me give you an example, and then you can think about it. I got free from anxiety and panic attacks, phobias, and stress when I recognized that I had a spirit of fear working in my life. See, I was taught that there was no spirit in me but the Holy Spirit when I became a Christian. So I didn't know why I was so fearful. And then I was told, God's love in you casts out fear. Then I felt like God wasn't loving me. So I had all this weird stuff going on in my thinking. I was believing a lie. And I did not believe God loved me. That's the lie behind it all. And once I came to grips with the Father and received his love for me, it cast out all the fear and torment overnight. It happened overnight. Now, there was a process that continued because I needed to go through some things, but the manifestation happened instantly. I woke up the next morning, and I was free. As a matter of fact, I was driving home that night from the church service when I realized that I didn't receive God's love, and I finally did. I was free driving home that night, and I've been free ever since. It's going on 20 years now. That's how you recognize it, and then you get free. It was a sin. I was yielding my members to sin, a fear of doubting God. You see all that stuff I was harboring? I was in rejection mode, oh, big time. I was abandoned my whole life. So we've all been through these things, but it's our choice. How are we going to process? And again, it is really receiving God's love for us to be able to forgive ourselves and all those around us who have rejected us.
Yeah, well, I think, for me, it's for the a relationship that I had lost.
Yeah.
And I, as much as I held on and fought for it, like I said, I was rejecting myself, and then listening to your teaching, I think it's going to be another one that I need to listen through again, because now I'm like, oh, wait, well, was I rejecting him,
Hit it, Linda, hit it, because you are, what we do is we don't know it, that we don't know we're doing it, but we reject the very thing that we want.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I... actually, a girlfriend when we were really young, one of the girls I grew up with, not even a strong Christian, she challenged me once, and she was like, okay, and don't push him away like you usually do. And this was just, we were young, and I was kind of amazed because she recognized that, and I remembered that, because I didn't know that in a way I push people away too, even though, like you said, it's the last thing I want. Consciously.
But you know why we do that is to protect ourselves from being hurt. It's to protect ourselves from hurt. So we'd rather reject them first before they reject us. It's a self mechanism, which is sin. Again, there's that sin again, or the unrighteousness, if you want to call it that, that causes us to act certain ways. Okay?
Yeah.
So in the next couple of weeks, I believe we're going to get into the how to be restored, how to stop rejecting people, how to all these things. So I think you're in the right place.
I think maybe the other word that I want to really be free from is self-sabotage.
That goes right with all that you're doing. Yeah, self-sabotage. Yep.
Okay. Awesome.
Right now we're seeing some stuff. Some things are surfacing, and others have seen it all their life but don't know what to do with it. So hang on, because we're going to come up with that how-to part real soon, okay? So we're just kind of talking about the different ways of rejection, the ways we feel, you know, things that are not resolved. We still have conflict. It's a good place to be, people. It's a good place to be because you're recognizing it. So hang on, even though you said, I've known it all my life, well, we're going to move on and get past it through this class, all right? So let's move on to going on to page 32. It's feeling rejection when you do something good. Okay. I'm just going to tell you a real quick story, and then if you have any stories to share, please do so. And I wrote about it in my book, and I'm just going to add it here. Like I said, go about doing good, okay? Go do something good for somebody. Now, what if they don't want it? Maybe they don't like what you're going to do for them. Maybe they don't eat cookies, or they don't, you know, whatever, and all that. And this is what the Lord showed me. Will you be okay if what you do good they don't want? Okay, this is a deep one. Will you still be okay if they reject what you give them? This particular person, I was thinking about something really cool to do, and I got it all together, and I went shopping, and I did this thing, took it over to her, and she kind of looked at it and just said, I don't need that. It's like, I spent weeks on it, and it's like, I don't need that. And I said, okay, that's your prerogative. You know, I didn't take it as a rejection to me. It was a thing. It got rejected, not me. So we have to separate ourselves from that thing. You are not the thing. I was able to still love her. There was no feeling bad or I'll never do that for her again. None of that attitude, because that could come. If you feel like your thing was rejected, I'll tell you what, you're going to not want to do it again. So it's always good to, when you do something for somebody, and if they don't want it, just go, hey, that's your choice. That's all good. Somebody else will want it. No big deal. I'll even keep it. Or whatever it is. That's just something that I wanted to share with you, because sometimes we give away some things we think are very valuable and other people trot on them. Are you going to be okay?
So, yeah, well, first of all, we shouldn't expect just because we really think something's cool that someone else is going to like it. So I am kind of I try to be kind of careful, but, you know, I'll see something that I really like and I'm buying it for myself. And sometimes I think, someone might, you know, Linda might like this or whatever. And I've done that before. But every year in our office, we do this Christmas gift exchange for, like, it's a very minimal thing, like $15. But for me, it always causes me a lot of stress because I always want the person to like what I'm getting. And even though I kind of know the people, it's strange because I'll see sometimes when we're exchanging the gifts that people's faces are kind of weird or strange. And they're fake, they're fake. But you can kind of tell they're like thinking, what's this? So I've never thought of that. I don't get offended, but I do feel like when we're doing something for somebody, you know, our heart is in the right place. We want them to like it. So if you feel like they don't, it is kind of disappointing.
It is disappointing. That's what we have to get rid of, right, that part. We just have to say, que sera, sera, you know. But that's the hardest thing to do because we connect ourselves to what we just did. We have to disconnect ourselves from that inanimate object.
Yeah.
But you're right. You know, I think Joyce Meyer said this one time. She said that her and Dave were out golfing, and he didn't do very good that day at all, and he was really into golfing. So she would pat him on the back. He goes, I don't need that. See, she'd want to be patted on the back, and, you tried, or whatever the encouragement. He didn't want none of it. See, we give away to people what we want. Remember the Bible says that do unto others as you would have them do unto you? So we take that literally, and if they don't like what we do unto them, you know, it turns into a nightmare sometimes. So this is one way of stopping rejection at its onset. Cannot be afraid of rejection because we will stop doing
and
stuff.
And I think you need to be honest as well, because see, in my generation, I was raised to be like grateful or very modest. If someone gave you a meal or if they gave you a gift, you were to graciously accept it. I guess probably even if you didn't want it or something. And I think nowadays that's kind of changing with the way that people are. They don't want to be burdened with something that they don't want. It's really a culture thing that we're dealing with, as well as a personal, taking it personal, you know.
Right.
Thing.
Exactly. Well, you know, I went to the homeless with a bunch of beautiful things, I thought, were beautiful, and they picked through it, and I thought, why are you only taking two things? You know, I don't know what their situation is. We don't know why they do what they do. We provide it, and if they don't want it, that's cool. And I found out, of course, later that she couldn't carry more than what she got because she only has a cart. You know, that was her whole house. So, you know, I was wondering why they aren't taking a bunch of stuff. Our thinking about what we think people need are completely different than what they really need.
Right.
Yeah, and that reminds me of this. This is so funny. Today, Tom went to church, okay? He went to church with me today, and something happened on the way home. And I said to him, I go, you know, I'm trying to figure out what I'm to tell people about my ministry. What do I tell them? Do I tell them I talk about abandonment and rejection? Do I talk about, you know, getting free from anxiety and stress? Do I talk about, you know, I had like 55 things I talk about, but how do you sum that up into one thing? You know what Tom said? It was so hilarious because you just brought it up. He said, just ask them what they need. If they say to you, what do you do? Just say, well, what do you need? And then you can target it. I mean, it was so simple. So sometimes we're giving away something they don't even need because they never even asked for it, and nor do you really know what they need. Because Jesus came to those who had a need. He didn't come to those who didn't need anything. You're a physician, right? He came to those who needed help and a physician. So maybe somebody don't need what I have to offer, but I have to choose not to feel rejection if somebody doesn't like my website or what I offer. That's happened. Oh, my gosh, that's happened. Very painful as well. But I had to forgive them. I had to forgive them and shake off the dust and move on to the next city who accepted me. See, that's what we all have to do. See, we don't always know why people don't like what we have to give. But know this, it's not about you. We can separate that. You will never feel rejection again, never. You won't even need to forgive anybody. You just won't feel, you won't even be rejected anymore because you just got to know that it's not about you.
I do wood carvings. It's my hobby. How badly I get rejected if I give somebody something that I've carved and they don't want it. I'd feel personally hurt, you know, like, oh, you know, and sometimes under my breath I'll say, well, you'll never get another one of my carvings again. I'll show you, you know, and I harbor this, like, big shield of resentment out of it, see?
Yes, and but, so now you're seeing it for what it is. It is, you're going under the, you're yielding your members, your whole heart, everything to unrighteousness.
Yeah.
So you're not going to come out ahead at all. Where you're going to come out ahead is going, oh, no problem. When you can just say, oh, okay, you know, wow, that's so freeing. Otherwise, you're really mustering it up. It's hard work then to keep that going in your spirit.
Yeah, and instead of I'll show them, it ends up being God shows me.
That's right, and boy, does it hurt. You might as well get ahead of the game here and just whatever you got to do about that, not even let that be a personal thing. Remember, separate the item from you. You are not that item. You are not being rejected. The item is.
Okay.
Disconnect your heart from that item. Because what happens is the Lord just downloaded it to me just now. That little thing was your little idol.
Yeah.
Oh, I made this special thing. Oh, it's just, oh, look at how wonderful it is, you see? And you've made it a very special, put it on a pedestal of your own heart. And they knocked it off the pedestal. God allowed that because he does not want you even to be so caught up on what you've created because God created it through you. So if anybody rejects it, they're rejecting God's creation, not you. It's a whole different story when you look at it that way.
Sure.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's one good thing in the right direction.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay, so then that brings me to abandoning ourselves. We talked a little bit about it at the beginning. But let me tell you something that's very interesting. Abandoning ourselves can be godly. All right? I'm not talking about rejecting ourselves. I'm talking about abandoning ourselves. Two different things, okay? Because if we abandon ourselves properly, that's godly, we will never feel rejection. Because how do we abandon ourselves? We abandon ourselves to go deeper outside myself into that love, humility, and selflessness that God has. That's how we abandon ourselves. I remember, I don't know how, I think there was this little, the Lord showed this to me in a picture, how he wanted me to just stand on the edge of a chair in my mind and dive into a giant pool of his life, of his love, of his humility, all of that, and I jump into it, and I've left myself on the chair. See, I abandoned myself on the chair, and I jumped into him. That's the abandonment we need to do for ourselves, because I'll tell you what, I asked the Lord that one time, I says, why is everybody dealing with abandonment issues? 99% of the people I talk to have abandonment issues that are Christians. This not ought not to be so. He says, the reason why is because they are supposed to abandon, but the enemy is using it against them to cause rejection. If they abandon themselves properly, then they're doing it correctly, and that's how I wanted them to do it in the first place, abandoning yourself to me. And then you'll never feel rejection. You'll never be abandoned because you've abandoned yourself to the Lord. You may think you've given yourself to God is what you're doing. You're leaving your old Bible says that we are to die to ourselves. Isn't that abandoning ourselves? We are to die to self so that we gain Christ. So abandoning ourselves is godly. Sure. Because a lot of us are like, oh, my gosh, you know, too much abandonment. Well, it's because we have to, but we're doing it incorrectly. See, abandoning ourselves isn't about being tossed aside. It means to abandon ourselves to the love and the care of the Lord demonstrated by how we love and care for one another. Your outcome and how you respond to people is going to show the Lord if you've really dived in to him. Remember earlier when we talked about being in him? Here again, if we abandon ourselves in godliness, abandon ourselves to godliness, we are in the Lord. Same thing. So we need to abandon properly. That's why it's rampant. It's that the enemy has distorted it and twisted it and turned it into rejection issues. But if we knew how to abandon ourselves properly from the beginning, we'd never have these issues. But now we're helping you learn to continue your life, abandoning yourself to the Lord, receiving his presence and his love and his power so that you don't abandon and reject anybody else. That is huge. It's living selflessly, right? That is abandoning yourself. How many of you think about yourself the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Think about how you're going to feel today. How is it going to work? Are you going to go to feel good to go to work? Are you, you know, are the kids going to call you? Are you going to call them? Are you, well, you got to go to the doctor. You know, the first thing we have on our mind is ourselves. So the first thing we should do, if we have ourselves on our mind, we need to go, okay, I've got myself on my mind, but I'm going to jump in to this pool of cool water, your love, your presence, and leave myself on the sidelines and continue the day in the Spirit. See, that's walking after the Spirit, too. I'm helping you in prevention right now. Because we haven't dealt with the old stuff yet up to now. We're dealing with the new stuff. If anybody comes to you and you feel rejection, you know immediately you're not believing God loves you. You're not really in his presence and resting in him in that moment. Or you haven't forgiven. So there's a lot of things that you're able to do now as you go forward. And we're going to talk about the past stuff in the next week, I think. But does it make sense to really know how to abandon yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Linda, I'm wondering if part of that is, you know, like you taught, loving people without anything in return.
Yeah.
That's part of abandoning ourselves.
Yeah.
Like what we
oh, absolutely it is.
Yeah.
The word abandonment is a harsh word. So, but it's descriptive when we use it by preferring others over ourselves. giving without wanting anything in return. It's all about, you know, abandoning ourselves to the Lord.
Okay.
So we prefer others. It's to think of others more than we think of ourselves. You know, my husband, wow, that's him. I guess I'm always on his mind because the way he treats me, I mean, I go out and turn the car on, and I just turn the car on. I go back out there, the seat's on. I didn't even turn the heated seat on. He goes and follows after me and turned it on for me. Or I'm in the kitchen and he's, you know, finishing up the dishes and putting, I mean, or I'm sitting on the couch and he brings me a blanket or a cup of water. I'm telling you, for 30 years, this is how it's been. He hasn't changed in that area. He knows how to put me first. Now, on the other hand, I'm having to learn it. I don't know how he just fell into it, but I have to do it on purpose. I have to put my, you know, if he walks into the room and I'm watching a TV show, I have to turn the thing on mute or hold or whatever and pay attention to him. I've made myself do that in the last 2 years, and it has changed our relationship because now he knows that I care about him more than the TV. See, I had to do some things to make it, to make this happen so that he doesn't feel rejection when he walks into the room. Oh, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're in the room, but oh, whatever. No, I had to stop and pay attention. Isn't that important to do? I mean, when I walk into his den and he's got 15 projects going on, he stops, puts full attention to me. How many people really do that in their marriages or in their relationships? We're so busy multitasking. Yeah. We're talking on the cell phone on one hand, on the computer, and then trying to talk to you too. So yeah, there's a lot of rejection that can happen here if we're not careful. We're rejecting other people. Here we are worrying about our own, and yeah, we're you know, spilling it out all over the place. We have to pay attention of the people in front of us. It's all about people, isn't it? Prefer others over ourselves and our needs. So let's go deeper outside of ourselves in the Lord's pool of clear, clean water, truth, and his love. Oh, I've had some repenting to do, I'll tell you what. And I have a feeling we all can have a little talk with the Lord. We need to abandon ourselves to the Lord, and then rejection will not follow because this is godly abandonment. So let's jump in him. You know that a dead person cannot feel anything. If we're to be dead in Christ, why are we so emotionally and pushy and touchy and feely? Because we're not dead. Because we're keeping that dead stuff alive. It's, again, a choice. Mm-hmm. Are we going to trust really what the scriptures say, that Jesus came to cover and wash away and cleanse us of all unrighteousness? You know, these are hard things. We're getting really deep into this part of the book where, you know, we're hitting pay dirt here. There's some choices we have to make differently in our lives, and I'm right there with you. I talked to my friend on the phone because we go through some similar things, but we're there to encourage each other and strengthen each other because, you know, that word, that scripture, don't think it's strange, this feeling. Well, I have feelings that are strange sometimes, and me and her bounce them back and forth because, you know, we need somebody to understand. And so we take time out of our busy day to talk to each other, and we need that. We need that in our spouses. We need that in our friends. Because we need to cast out all fear about that thing. And if we're isolated and alone in it, we're going to fear. But if we can share our heart and pray one for another, fear will go. And then we can just deal with what needs to be dealt with, whether it's a health issue, whether it's rejection, whether it's whatever it is we're talking about. This is heavy stuff tonight.
Yeah, a lot to dwell on. I was just thinking how, you know, when you're describing how, like, Tom will drop everything, or, you know, you'll turn things off for him. How many of us have ever pictured God doing that for us?
You're absolutely
right. Oh, gosh, my little girl.
Yes, you are in the palm of his hand. Does he drop everything for us? Yes, he does. If we don't believe that, then we better think again. Wow, I like that. I'll have to dwell on that one for a bit and chew on it. That's a good one. Thank you for joining tonight. All right, well, let me pray. Father, we thank you for the evening, for what you've done to opening up minds. Basically, you're opening up more of our thoughts so that we can think more like you. The only thing we really want to do, Lord, is think like you. If we thought like you, we wouldn't be in these predicaments. So help us to think more like you. Let us have the mind of Christ even more every day. Let us exercise grace in our life, that we've been covered and washed away from all these unrighteous things that we partner with and yield our members to, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for cleansing us and purging us from all unrighteousness and setting us in your care and in your right in front of your face, Father, that you see us day and night, always, as you put things down to pay attention to us. And I pray that we do the same for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.